Alright, ladies and gentlemen, this video is going to be a messy video today, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun for you, because I'm going to tell you about Ted Cruz, and I'm going to show you a video of Kenneth Copeland introducing Ted Cruz and prophesying that he's going to be the next president of the United States. I've dispensed with my pop filter for today because I'm going to have to do some crazy stuff to show you this video. I have no technical wizardry here. I have no engineers at my disposal to magically show you a video and make things happen. I would awe-inspiring things, so I have to do it myself. It's going to be ugly, but I'm here to give you information. So the first information I'm going to give you is to tell you some things from this story. This is called Ted Cruz Closet Pentecostal. This is from informationclearinghouse.info. While Ted Cruz proudly proclaims he is an evangelical Christian, his campaign takes pains to hide the truth that Cruz and his pastor father, Rafael Cruz, are you ready for this? Pentecostal Christians. A fact further hidden by having Ted and Heidi Cruz's, though that's miswritten. You don't need the possessive there. Ted and Heidi Cruz's belong to the congregation of the First Baptist Church. And so they belong to a First Baptist Church congregation. But this indeed hides the fact that they are not members of the First Baptist Church. Well, they might be members, but they are closet Pentecostals. But old Raphael is not a closet Pentecostal. I will tell you that. Yeah, I'm trying to read this and see myself at the same time to make sure I still look good, because this is important. Just kidding. Not really. Wait till I show you the video. All right. And their home is in Houston. Oh, isn't that? Where's Joel Osteen? He's down there too. God, what is it with this Houston? What is it with Houston? Both Cruz's parents, his father Rafael, a Cuban-born immigrant, and his mother Eleanor, born in Wilmington, Delaware, grew up in Catholic families. Both were among the millions. This is true. Both were among the millions that left the Catholic Church since the 1960s to embrace Pentecostalism. And remember, Pentecostalism, that is it's an amalgamation, really, of a bunch of different religions. Ex-Catholics, really, fled there in the 60s, as this article says, because they got tired of the dry, boring, wafer crispy, up and down methodology of the Catholic Church. Methodists, too. They're tired with the old stuff. So Pentecostalism seems new and happy and light and fun. And so these people race off to the Pentecostal religion, and they get their spiritual thrills, big kicks. Get your kicks on Route 66. No, get your kicks at the altar. Get your kicks with a good kick and bass drum. Oh, what happened? See, my pop filter's gone, so I'm going to have all sorts of audio accidents here. But get your kicks at the Pentecostal Church. Listen to this. This section is called Holy Spirit's Purifying Fire. I hate that phrase, purifying fire. The Pentecostals are the ones that have all this imagery that they make up. Pentecostals generally tend to be those who will spiritualize everything, because the Pentecostal is a pseudo-spirituality that depends on feeling and emotion and not logic. Feeling and emotion and not logic. It's anti-spirit. Yesterday I talked about anti-fruit. Pentecostalism is anti-spirit, but it's disguised as the ultimate dose of the Spirit. In fact, some people will tell you that you can't be spiritual unless you've spoken in tongues. This is a short history of the name Pentecostal. Do we need this? I'll determine if we need it. Thank you for trusting me on this. The name Pentecostal, if I do this, this is important, I think. The name Pentecostal derives from the Feast of Pentecost. That's why, another reason why it's tricky, because it's based on a loosely on a truth. It's a departure from it, but it uses the same phrase. Oh, Pentecostal. That's Pentecost. That was a sacred Israel holiday when Peter spoke in tongues, and that must be what we need to do. The name Pentecost derives from the Feast of Pentecost, typically celebrated. I need my puff filter. Thanks. I'll do it this way. Nice. Typically celebrated. This thing actually works, doesn't it? I've been wanting to dispense with this thing, but I can't. It's indispensable. I realize that now that I'm talking without the pop filter. Identified 50 days. Typically celebrated. Pentecost is 50 days after Easter, and identified with the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 through 31, as the day when the Holy Spirit descended in purifying fire. This is important. I'm still on this Ted Cruz article. Hang in there with me. This Holy Spirit that descended in purifying fire upon the apostles of Jesus Christ, inspiring them to go forth. Go forth. And this is what I'm hearing from Kenneth Copeland and Rafael Cruz, that his son is ready to go forth in a Pentecostal style to reclaim America for God. In this case, the disciples wanted Israel to reclaim their Messiah because they had rejected him, and now they were being exhorted to reclaim him. But that was legit. This U.S. crap is not legit. No, I do. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I love my country. I do. I'm a little sentimental about it. I mean, I was away from my country for a while, and I'm very sentimental about my country. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not the be-all, end-all. I don't die beneath the flag. No, I'm not a flag waver. I don't put political bumper stickers on my car. I don't campaign. No, I'm interested in that it's interesting. I'm interested in interesting things. That's normal. Oh, this is a joke. Listen to this. Pentecostals believe the apostles of Jesus were aided by the Holy Spirit's gift of tongues. Aided, yeah. Do you think they were assisted by the Holy Spirit, for one? They wouldn't have even known what Jesus was doing. It was all explained to them after the fact, because during they didn't know what was going on. They were aided by the Holy Spirit's gift of tongues. So yes, tongues, the gift of languages, not called tongues. It's languages, if you want to be literal about it. In what Pentecostals consider as baptism by the Holy Spirit. Okay, it is baptism by the Holy Spirit, but it's not as the Pentecostals say it is. This was a legitimate baptism that unified people. In the first century, 3,000 people or 5,000 came to understand Jesus Christ by this move of the Holy Spirit. Deriving from 1 Corinthians, now they're bringing Paul into this. Chapter 12 gave the apostles the ability to speak in a God-enabled prayer language. Well, that's true too. I'm not going to get into that right now, but that is true too. That the Pentecostals believe even today allows the unintelligible human utterance of a Pentecostal evangelist to be understood by foreigners who do not speak the Pentecostal evangelist's language. I disagree with that. That's not happening. I believe that's a false manifestation. Heidi Nelson Cruz, Ted's wife, is the daughter of Seventh-day Adventist missionaries. So what a cocktail we have here. We have the offspring of a Catholic, offspring of a Seventh-day Adventist. Both become Pentecostals. Explaining why she spent part of her childhood traveling with her parents to places like Kenya. Oh, yeah, that explains it perfectly. Places like Kenya. Speaking in tongues, religion reporter Sarah Pulliam Bailey, writing in the Washington Post of March 25th, 2005, was one of the first to recognize Ted Cruz's 2016 presidential campaign logo and the purifying tongue of fire logo used commonly to identify Pentecostal churches. Look, this is true. Ted Cruz's campaign logo is eerily similar to the Assemblies of God. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist guy. This is not a conspiracy. These are just the facts. I'm going to move my camera around because this is the only way I know how to do this. This is very primitive here. So, and it's going to be reversed, but you get the idea. I don't know why it's reversed. I can't figure that out. Oh, this is Ted Cruz's. If you're looking on the studio cam, this is Ted Cruz's campaign logo right here. And the image is in reverse. I don't know what to do about it. This is the Church of Pentecost logo. Ah, interesting. This is not a conspiracy. This is a fact. All right, let's watch this sickly video. Do I have time for this? Yeah. Yes, I do. All right, where is this thing? All right, I'm going to put the microphone on it. Look at this guy. I can't even stand to look at this Kenneth Copeland dude. Sorry. This guy makes me nuts. I take that back. He doesn't make me nuts. Nobody makes me nuts. All right, I'm going to try to get this in now. I'm going to have to put the microphone up here, and I'm going to comment as we go. Get ready for this. I hope you haven't eaten anything yet. Purge your stomach before you watch this, because this is rough. And again, I don't know why I've got a reverse image going here, but it's not going to matter on this video.
With all my heart, that his son is called and anointed to be the next president of the United States. Would you welcome Rafael Cruz to this platform? Glory to God.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
God. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell this audience about the time that your family spent in prayer.
Hang on, I'm working on this camera. I'm shaking too much. I'm too excited.
Before making the announcement.
Watch this.
We're running for president. Well, Kenneth, as I was sharing with you, my son Ted spent 6 months in prayer. 6 months.
Ooh, 6 months.
The Lord, because this is a decision that had to come from the Lord. It had to be a decision from the Lord.
Or Satan.
And at the end of those 6 months, the whole family, we were at Ted's church in Houston. And after church, we went to the pastor's office. His senior staff was with us. We spent 2 hours on our knees.
Oh, 2 hours. That'll hurt.
At his pastor's office. And I remember the final word came from Ted's wife, from Heidi. Mm-hmm. And the word from the Lord was, "Seek my face, not my hand."
I thought it was Ted's wife, Heidi. Was it the Lord or Ted's wife?
Seek my face, not my hand. It was as if a cloud of the Holy Spirit descending upon that room. And all of a sudden, we were all worshiping.
In other words, speaking in tongues.
The words that came out from Ted's mouth were, "Hear my Lord. Use me."
He's going to use them.
Will be done. Hear my Lord.
He's going to use them, all right.
Your total brokenness. And I'll tell you, I believe that God has raised him up for such a time as this.
We are in the midst right now of the new birth of this nation.
Here it comes.
We are in that time of the word of God that was delivered in November of 2014. There's a new birth for America.
Oh, God.
There's a new birth for this nation.
Oh, God.
We had, at the time, we did not know what it looks like, but we are seeing what it looks like right now.
Ted Cruz's dad.
We are seeing that awakening. We are seeing a sweeping of the move of the Spirit of God from coast to coast all over this nation.
Or it could be Satan.
Father, we thank you for all that you are doing in the midst of it, and thank you that we are being swept up in the glory of God over this nation.
Swept up.
Things that have been lost are being restored. There's a new birth right now for America, and it's taking place right before our eyes. And we will not set apart our responsibility and our duty to do what God has called us to do. We say, "Yes, Lord, yes, we will do exactly what you've called us to do." And we receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
The outpouring of the Holy Spirit over Washington, D.C.
Oh, boy.
We see Congress praying. We see them seeking God. We see prayer coming back into our schools.
Now they're getting excited.
We see abortion.
Now it's getting really Pentecostal.
We see this nation being completely restored.
I see.
Completely delivered. For it is a time of the new birth of our nation. And we're seeing it right before our eyes.
Or the wild beast.
Now, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen. My God, in Jesus' name, amen. Can you believe that? Is that scary or what? Is that scary or what? I think it's exciting. So now, I told you it's going to be a mess. I told you. I told you it's going to be a mess. Anyway, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Look, if Ted Cruz is not the Antichrist, then it's going to be someone like Ted Cruz. Let that be my point. Oh, here's a picture of Ted Cruz. It looks pretty creepy. Let me show you this. Look at this. Do I have time left? Yeah, I got time. Look at this. Good Lord. I might have to change my mind because he looks too sinister right there. I would prefer if he looked like a little boy or have a baby face. Actually, he does have a baby face. Ted Cruz has a baby face. This is not the face of sinister evil. Therefore, he's a great candidate for the man of lawlessness. Obama, you've seen pictures of Obama. He's haughty. He's always got his chin in the air. Like this. He's always got his chin in the air. And so does Donald Trump. You ever see, have you watched any of the debates? I've just seen highlights. He's always got this scowl. Like this. Look at the scowl. This is my Donald Trump scowl. It's a lot, not too far removed from the Obama ska, which is the same thing, like I'm doing now, but with the chin up here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the Obama. The chin's got to be up here. That's the Obama thing. So we are not disposed this way. No, we are disposed toward humble things, toward the lowly people, toward lowly things. We're disposed toward living in laundry rooms and driving old cars. We're disposed to waiting our time upon the stage. And this is not time for our hour upon the stage, but it could be time for Mr. Ted Cruz.